You have heard the scripture reading for today already, the beginning of it anyway, but I would invite you to turn in your Bibles if you have them. The scripture should also be on the screen for you to follow along. I really want you to pay attention to these words. The scripture is short, but it's very simple, and I think it has something that we can all relate and connect to this Sunday, but also I do think it's something that can be inspiring and challenging for us in this new year. Isaiah 43, beginning with verse 18. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. A few things I want to share. The first one is, don't dwell on the past. That's the first thing that's said here in the scripture. Now, there's value in learning from, remembering, and even celebrating the past. You get this? You hear what I'm saying? In fact, as I began thinking about this and putting this together, I wanted to do that. I wanted to express thankfulness for the founders of Woodland Church. And so I want to start off by sharing, and this seems to go against what we may be talking about today, but I think it makes the point. It's not that we shouldn't celebrate or learn or acknowledge the past. It's more that we don't need to live in the past. We don't need to dwell in the past. But let's hear this. Let's turn back the hands of time and see Colleen as it was in the year 1910. A quiet little community nestled among stately oaks and pines and overlooking the majestic Blue Ridge Mountains in the west. It was not the day of modern living, that of automobiles, planes, or even hard surface roads. The day of radio, television, computers, cell phones, and electricity had not come to Nelson. There were no tractors, hay balers, ten-wheelers, bulldozers, or backhoes. Man gazed on the moon but never entertained the thought that in a few years we would explore the face of the moon. Lamps and lanterns still furnished the light by night, along with the aid of the fireplace, which gave not only its light but also warmth for families and friends to enjoy as they gathered for Bible reading, prayer, and family togetherness. Occasionally, along the dusty road, there goes a horse and buggy. The lady is on her way to one of the two stores in Colleen to exchange eggs or chickens for coffee, sugar for a few yards of gingham fabric, or a new oil cloth for the lamp. Men and boys brought rabbits, which they had trapped and for which the sum of 8 cents was paid. Also, other animals were trapped or killed, and their hides were sold for fur. The two stores in Colleen were the spot which people gathered each Saturday afternoon. Here they rested from the week's work and heard the community news and shared fellowship. The nearest Baptist church was a three-mile walk or in a buggy ride on a horse for those who attended there for many years. We might imagine a Saturday afternoon conversation that centered on this problem and looked for a solution. After careful consideration, a little group decided that a community church should be built. After this conversation, work and plans began immediately to construct a building and form a church. John W. Goodwin granted the site in 1911. It was an ideal location with pines to serve as hitching posts and oaks to serve as the to provide the shade. Men and boys went to work felling trees in nearby forests owned by Charles N. Goodwin, who donated the lumber for the building. In June 1911, the foundation was laid, and by late winter, the building was ready for occupancy. Records indicate that $330 was spent to build and furnish the structure. Today, January 4th, 2026, some 115 years later, I am truly thankful for the founders who had the vision to begin Woodland. I am thankful for the people who over the past 100 years have allowed themselves to be used by God to bring Woodland to the place it is today. But just as the people who had conversations over a century ago and were not satisfied with the status quo, but felt the need, and I would say even a spiritual prompting to embrace a vision, a work, and a commitment to do a new thing in creating a new church, we too are called this day to move beyond the comfort of status quo and to continue the legacy of embracing a God-given vision, work, and commitment to make a kingdom impact. As pastor of Woodland, I am committed to seeking, praying over, and working towards this vision. But this is bigger than me. It's bigger than us. We are talking about a God-sized vision. I have a very serious question for you this first Sunday of 2026. Whether this is your first Sunday here at Woodland, or maybe you've been here a few months, or perhaps you've been here for decades, my question is, are you interested in being a part of something bigger than you that will have a profound impact on our families, on our community, and our world in the years to come? This sounds exciting, grand, adventurous. And it is. And like most things, it doesn't just happen. It requires work. In order for us to embrace such a common vision, we must first take heart today's scripture on a personal level. We cannot offer to be a part of making a significant eternal impact for such a vision if we're not first willing to allow God to move in a profound way in our own personal lives. So with that being said, let's look closely at today's scripture. If you've got your Bibles, turn back. I'll be looking at the first phrase there in verse 18 of Isaiah 43. It says, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past." If you have not intentionally done so already, I believe the majority of us have things from the past, from last year, the last several years, maybe even the majority of our life, that have been holding us back. In this scripture, God is telling Israel to get past what went on in Egypt and to embrace a new deliverance from Babylonian captivity. We too need to move forward. In order to go where God is leading, we must let go. We must let go of past mistakes. We must let go of past traumas. We must let go of regrets. We must let go of shame and all that paralyzes our progress. I could give a list of these things that might be descriptive of what I just described, but I don't need to. You know them in your own life all too well. The mistakes that you allow yourself to be defined by, the trauma you relive day after day, the regrets you don't want to let go of, the shame that keeps you from seeing yourself as the beautiful person God created you to be. You know these things very well. God desires for you so much that you would move past all of this and be willing to focus on the plans He has for you. But you have to be willing. He is not going to force you. Instead, He is asking you to trust that your life, your future will be better if you let go of these things. These things that maybe you have held on to so long that they become a part of your own status quo. Make no mistake, this is not an easy first step. It is a breaking away. It is a letting go of something that has become a part of who you are. But it is not something God desires to define, control, or limit you. With His power, daily commitment, and a genuine heart, you can break free from whatever is holding you back. And you want to do that. Because as we look at the next part of the passage, God is doing something new. It says this, "See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it?" God is not just some far-off super being that sets over the world. God is active in my life, and He's active in your life right here, right now. And I know, even though this is couched in a New Year's sermon, God is continually initiating something new and fresh in our lives. Always. It's not always obvious to us, but that does not mean God is not at work. We must trust and believe even if it's not obvious. This puts us in a much better place to see and respond to what God is doing. When you're willing to give up your life, when we're willing to give up our lives to God in this way, God offers us new life, new purpose, a fresh perspective, like creating rivers in a desert. We must perceive, as the scripture says, God at work in order to more fully recognize and be prepared for what He has in store for our future. And then the next part of the scripture. "I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." God is a way maker. Some of us, listen to this, some of us have been living in the wilderness and wasteland for a very long time. And maybe you've tried to get out and you couldn't find your way. So you just accepted it as the way life has to be. We're treading water, doing the same thing day in and day out. Every once in a while we get buoyed up by some temporary jolt of promise only to be let down in the same place again. Does this sound like you? Or maybe others of us may be facing a relatively new challenge, one that seems beyond our control, that we're just barely getting by. Life has given you a gut punch and you need a breath of fresh air and someone to help you back on your feet. Then again, there's others of us who fooled ourselves into thinking everything is okay. Nothing bad's happening in life. We're good with God. But if we're honest with ourselves, our lives lack purpose. We're simply buying time until we reach the end of this life. We're not living life in the way God intended. Whether you've been stuck in the wilderness for years or facing an impossible challenge or fooling yourself into thinking life is better than it is, God has provided a way for you. It is in front of you today. And it is my prayer you will have the courage to take that first step. And this leads to what I really want to challenge you with today. We've spent the last several weeks focusing primarily on receiving the Christ child, accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior, receiving the eternal gift of salvation. And all of this is very relevant and available today and should never be dismissed. But today, I want to focus this invitation on a calling of spiritual renewal. A recognition that while you know God is in your life, He is not as relevant as you would desire. The relationship may feel distant or strained between you and God. You desire to renew that relationship. to make a new commitment to let go of the things of this world that have been holding you back and focus on God's plan, God's future, and God's purpose for your life. You believe God is making a way for you, and you are willing to say yes. I'm done with being defined by the past. I do see God has more, and I want it. I know God is making a path for me to follow, and I'm committed to go there. What is your commitment for this new year?